noticed that in our talk, Florida has done unsolicited proposals, design build, availability payment projects, greenfield projects, and brownfield projects. So that was a very helpful overview. They've got at least one of everything here in Florida. Are you ready, Mel?
Sure. Okay. Good morning. I'm the rose. I'm the thorn between two roses making these presentations. It's a pleasure for me to be here, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the innovative financing partnerships in Virginia. Our law passed in 1995, and I think, DJ, you were on the first ones, and we were dealing with that when you were on the dark side.
On the dark side.
But what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about why we pursue PPTAs. And I call it PPTAs because that's our law in the Commonwealth. And how to pursue and what lessons learned, and just go over many of the things that Alice said I'm probably going to repeat here. So let me go quickly through this. One, as all DOTs, we're facing an aging highway system. Maintenance is eating up more and more of our budgets, our population, economy is growing. We have limited resources, and our current needs exceeds the available funds we have. And a strong economy requires an efficient transportation. Now, how many states are represented here in the audience? Raise your hand. Okay. If you want a copy of that slide, I can take VDOT off it and put your state name on there, because I think that covers about every state right there. So we did have a legislation authority back in 1995 to establish 3Ps, our Public-Private Transportation Act of 1995. Since then, we've completed 6 projects, totaling about $925 million. We have 5 projects presently under contract for about $5 billion. We're getting ready. We'll be signing our first contract with some an amendment to our contract to move forward our Coalfield Expressway. Worked with Tom Smith up here in West Virginia and the West Virginia people. So the first lesson learned is go to any other state and steal what they're doing to move the PPTAs forward. But it did establish policy objectives for Virginia, the public need for the project, private resources or risk sharing to help address the public need. And we're looking for innovation, more timely, less costly. We're trying to move, just like Alice said, move things forward. And transparency and accountability, what you've heard Alice say. So many states are moving in the same direction. Since that time, in our 10 years, we've had several amendments, changes to the law. We require commitments or guarantees by the private sector, mandatory risk sharing. We rejected unsolicited proposals when they do not include private risk. Our law allows solicited or unsolicited proposal. Former Commissioner Chiquette, I believe, gave back 5 proposals at one time that were to the department. Identify timelines and activities within each phase of your 3P procurement. The private sector wants to know that. They want to know the rules of the game before you get started. Allow for interim agreements to accelerate required activities. This was something that we learned very quickly. Our law required us to enter into a comprehensive agreement, and some of the projects that we received did not have development as long as much as it should be. So enter into an interim agreement. The private sector knows that you will enter into a long-term agreement as the project is developed is an important thing. And allow for the development of a concession agreement. So we have gotten into some concessions that I will talk about a little bit later. We do have in our implementation guidelines 6 steps. We do a quality control review as it comes in. In other words, does any proposal to come in meet the requirements of our law? We have an independent review panel that's established by our Secretary of Transportation that normally has Chief Financial Officer, the chief engineer representing the department. Then we'll have local officials along the corridor of where the project is being proposed. And they will do an independent review of that and make a recommendation to our Commonwealth Transportation Board to review. The board will review that and make a recommendation to move forward. Then we will ask for submission of detailed proposals, then negotiate the agreement and execute the agreement. We're a little bit different than Florida in that after we get the early approvals from the elected officials, our Commonwealth Transportation Board, if there are no public funds in it, then the sole decision to enter into a contract rests with our Commonwealth Transportation Commissioner. If there are public funds in it, then the Commonwealth Transportation Board always are the ones who allocate those funds. But we'll, the commissioner obviously keeps the board in up to speed of what's going on, but it not, does not require a approval from our General Assembly. I got myself in trouble one time when I made a presentation saying engineering is the easy part. Found out chief engineers aren't supposed to say that. But engineering may appear to be the easy part. There's legal and commercial issues that are complex. Competent legal, business, and financial advisors are a must as you move into 3Ps. Construction cost of a greenfield project is an expensive part. You've got to provide experienced and competent engineers. It's very quick moving. You must understand the design build delivery system and the pace of the business. Long-term risks are shifted to private sector if we're talking about long-term financing, operating, maintaining. You must carefully consider the long-term development of the corridor that you're dealing with. And continuously coordinate with the Federal Highway Administration. Mary Ridgway is here from our office. We have a very good working relationship with our federal government representatives. We bring them into our negotiations. We have reached an agreement with the FHWA and also our private sector partners that if we would like the FHWA representative to leave the room and get a drink of water, we can ask them to do that, and they will not be insulted, and we work very well and strongly encourage that you bring your FHWA partners because many, many of these things are dealing with public money in that. One other thing that we did is we established some internal resources. In 2002, we established dedicated staff to deal with the 3Ps. I'm going to tell you what that picture is in a minute here.
I was wondering about that.
That was put in that, but I'm okay. We established two divisions, the Innovative Project Delivery Division, which answers to me. We have about 14 people in there. All they do is public, private, design, build, working with consultants. We also established our Innovative Finance and Revenue Operations Division. So the first thing you need to do is take a division, put innovation in front of it, get you a shirt like this, and you can move on. What this is, a picture here, this is a Mennonite engineer down in a project we have going on in Giles County. Actually, it's a replacement project. We had a 30-ton truck go across an 8-ton posted bridge. Doesn't work very well. That bridge collapsed. Fortunately, we were building this. Actually, this is an example. Tom Pelnick, who heads up our Innovative Project Delivery, this is an example of one of our first public-private. He went back. This was built in 1913, the original bridge. It was constructed for $500, and we came up and found out where local citizens donated $5 or $10. One gentleman put $100 in 1913. That must have been a lot of money. But this was an early example of our public-private partnership, and there he is going to work on our new bridge. Project selection is a critical factor. And as Alice said, not all projects are appropriate for a 3Ps. There must be a present a value of money and a benefit for the public. The private sector must perceive an investment opportunity, high volumes, limited access highway, the need for more capacity or efficient operations, and a procurement that results in a contract. If you're an engineer and you go to a meeting and there's, don't be offended by this, DJ, we've got 9 or 10 lawyers in there. It's really interesting.
So it's a good meeting there.
It's a good meeting there. Very, very good meeting. But it's a little bit different from when you're dealing with that. Optimum risk transfer and sharing, but not maximum risk transfer. Anytime you transfer, that's going to cost money, and you need to make sure that you do the correct transfer. Considerations also, you have to set clear policy goals. I believe Alice touched on this, at programmatic and project level, and communicate to ensure support throughout, not only with your private sector partners, but internally to the department. You need to establish a business model and a competitive process. Solicit proposals have to have clearly defined scope, a competitive procurement of contracts to get the best deal for citizens. Each agreement establishes a precedent that you might use down the line. It requires an at-risk and equity participation. You ensure the process results in a contract. And you need to look, when you're looking at 3Ps versus design-build, from the long-term view. It does require that you put adequate resources. Like you said, Virginia established two divisions. We probably put a total about 25 people just dealing with it. It's not a part-time job for somebody that already has a really big job in your organization. You have to clear time. It requires significant time of investment from senior staff during negotiation. As I said before, legal, business, professional, and financial resources are needed, and in-house staff commitment of time. Once again, I'll mention our federal partners. You need to communicate to them the objectives, make them a part of the project process, and it's very, very critical to success. We would not have been able to close on the 495 hot lane project we have up in Northern Virginia without the federal government working hand-to-hand with us to move that along. 3P is not for every project, but it can be an important part of a program. The current development of our program is we're establishing a programmatic approach to 3B projects. Detailed proposals will contain specific project provisions. Detailed proposals will become the basis of the project, and we're reviewing long-term plans for future 3P opportunities. Upcoming here, we have two projects that we are looking at now, the Midtown Tunnel, Martin Luther King Extension down in the Hampton Roads area. That proposal is on the street right now. That it's a little bit less than $1 billion job. We're looking for a concession in that. Our proposals are due in September 29th of this year. The Southeastern Parkway and Greenbelt, we're also looking for that project to move later on. And then just some information here. Dusty Holcomb heads up. He works for Tom Pelnick to do a great job. This particular here, Jim, I couldn't have a presentation without a bridge, a real good bridge in it. So this is the 895. It's a PPTA, our first PPTA project, what I call a traditional PPTA project. That's located just south of Richmond there. So Virginia has been dealing with PPTA for 10 years. We've learned a lot as we've gone on, and we continue to learn as we deal in the public-private partnership area. DJ?
Very good. Thank you, Mel. Okay, you've got two very good, excellent presentations from states who have been...